We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We now go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we are joined by our friend Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on, guys?
Well, Scott, bummer about yesterday, and we're just trying to shake our thoughts through that and talk about the Kobe Bryant situation. But there was also news over the weekend about what's going on with the Browns general manager search. And what's the story there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't have one yet. George Payton withdrew Friday afternoon. But I think it could happen sometime soon. I think there is a sense of urgency. I mean, the offseason's getting away here. It's been 2 weeks since Kevin Stefanski was officially hired. So I think it could be, you know, any day now there. You find a GM, and I think if you're the Browns, the hope has to be that Andrew Berry says yes, right? I mean, George Payton made sense because of his connection with Kevin Stefanski, and Andrew Berry makes sense because of his history with the Browns. He's part of the search committee last year that interviewed Kevin Stefanski. If it's not Andrew Berry, then I think there's serious question marks about who that next GM would be.
Yeah, you're getting to that point here, aren't you? And I know Andrew Berry has other folks, we've read about other options that he may have as well. I do find it interesting that a guy who worked with Kevin Stefanski for Kevin's entire run up there, George Payton has been up there for 13 years, and he comes down, he interviews twice and decides not to take the job. Now, I get it. He has two kids. They've lived in Minnesota for a long time. That's home. And to me, Scott, I'm probably not disrupting that. If I have a great job that I like, even if I'm not the main man, if I have a great job that I like, my family's here, to go to a place where they fire general managers and head coaches every year or every other year. That has to play a role in this, does it not?
I would think so. Yep. You know, he's turned down interviews before. He had interviewed a couple times a couple of years ago with the Niners and the Colts. But he was comfortable in Minnesota. I think that was obvious. For him to have the two interviews speaks to his relationship with Kevin Stefanski. In my mind, that he gave this deep consideration and thought about taking the job with the Browns and leaving what's a comfortable spot in Minnesota. But you're right. I don't know how you look at this job from outside and not be concerned to some degree, just given the history. And I think it's even more that way for general managers, because you see head coaches get a second chance to be a head coach, right? Hugh Jackson was in Oakland and then Cleveland. Pat Shurmur, Cleveland to New York. And we see it, even if you failed the first time, you can get that second chance. It doesn't really work that way for GMs. You know, guys get one chance and they're done. You know, Phil Savage, one and done. Tom Hecker was one and done. John Dorsey got that second chance, but he was a rarity because he had such success with the Chiefs. So if George Payton were to come here and get fired after 2 years and go 12-20 or whatever a typical Browns record would be, that's probably it for him. And if you're going to have one shot, one bite at the apple, I think you have to be really careful about which apple you choose.
Scott Petrak joining us, BrownZone.com, Chronicle Telegram. I keep going back to John Dorsey, and I think you really couldn't work that out, that John could have stuck around. I'm not quite sure, and have you learned any more about where the disconnect happened? Obviously, they didn't want to keep Freddie. My guess is John would have been okay with that, maybe not even picking the next head coach. But why they wanted to reassign John is still kind of baffling to me, Scott.
Yeah, it feels kind of nebulous. Was he a good enough leader? Did he do a good enough job helping Freddie Kitchens become the coach that he expected him to become? You can look at some of the roster moves and say, did he put enough emphasis on character, right? Maybe some of the issues that the Browns dealt with Antonio Callaway, just, first guy that comes to the top of your head, Jermaine Whitehead, right? Two guys that they cut during the season.
Right.
Okay, well, those weren't perfect hires. But we talked about this before, guys. None of his weaknesses, in my opinion, necessitated move on from him, given his experience, given how he transformed the roster from 1-31 to what I thought was a playoff caliber roster in 2019. So I would not have made that move. And you have to wonder if the Haslams are now second-guessing that, given they didn't get George Payton, who seemed to be the favorite for the job. Now, if Andrew Berry gets it, then probably their plan is fine. But if he doesn't, like I said, then I don't know where that GM search goes. The next hire, I think, would be not – you wouldn't have that automatic alignment that you would have had with Payton or with Berry that the Haslams so desperately want. And I think when they just made the decision to move on from John, right, ask him to take that reduced role that he wouldn't accept, I think they had this plan in place. And they figured we'll be able to hire a GM and a coach, and that plan falls apart if you don't get one of those two guys, right? They got their coach in Kevin Stefanski. They better get their general manager. And, again, it feels like it's down to Andrew Berry. And if it's not him, then I think there would be regrets for moving on from John Dorsey.
Scott, I think one thing that's interesting, if Andrew Berry is the leading candidate right now, okay, that's all well and good. But you've put then two-thirds of a regime that didn't seem to work in their estimation. And I only say it didn't seem to work because the Haslams blew it up with Sashi Brown. And because Sashi's leading that thing, at least we thought he was. I'm still assuming that he was, even though Paul DePodesta was there and Andrew Berry was there. And then Andrew left when, you know, shortly thereafter. And it's like, okay, so you're turning back the clock and going back to kind of the Sashi regime. And I just think, well, then why'd you blow up Sashi in that regime if you're kind of going back to it now?
Yeah, I mean that's all fair. I think the one, you know, the first question, the first four questions for Andrew Berry, if he gets this job, is how much input did you have in those drafts,
the
Sashi Brown drafts, right?
And, Scott, wouldn't you think it would be a lot? Since Sashi's background was not in football scouting.
No, right? I hear you. I mean, Andrew had, at one point, he was either the most experienced or one of the most experienced football, quote-unquote, football guys in that personnel department. Having said that, at the time he was 28 or 29, Sashi Brown was making the final decisions. Paul DePodesta, when we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, said, hey, I shouldn't have had a big role back then because I was brand new to football. So you would hope that Paul DePodesta is better at his job now than he was 4 years ago and has figured some things out. You would hope that Andrew Berry, given more experience, given the year in Philadelphia, would be better. But those are certainly concerns when you look at 1-31. Now, the difference is they're not going to try to do a complete rebuild. Jimmy Haslam thinks they're close to being where they want to be in contending. And I agree with them from a roster standpoint. So therefore, you don't have to orchestrate some teardown and, you know, I don't know if they ever tried to tank per se, but, right, they got rid of all their veterans and went really young. They won't do that again. So you have to trust, if you're the Haslams, that Andrew Berry knows football, knows talent evaluation, and given a better jumping off point, will do a better job. But that's a huge question, so I get all those doubts. I do. I'm just not sure it's fair to blame Andrew Berry when I don't think he ever had final say in any of those decisions.
Scott, Sashi Brown was in town on Thursday, and I saw him at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. He's now works for the Washington Wizards, where Scott Brooks said, man, he's put in some great stuff. We love what he's doing, blah, 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 blah. He gave this quote to Marla Ridenour from The Beacon, and Sashi said about the whole general manager search, quote, I hope they get the time to do it and that there's true alignment throughout the building and some conviction. And what I would say, the organizational faith that maybe hasn't been there across some of the rash of change that's been spinning around here for the better part of the last decade. Sashi's long-winded answer by saying, nobody gets enough time here.
Right. Yeah, conviction stands out to me there because I'm sure when he made his pitch to the Haslams, so what are we talking, at the end of 2015, right, they fire Mike Pettine after the Steelers game, and then they say, okay, Sashi Brown, the legal counsel that nobody really knew what he did, all of a sudden is running the football department. I know Sashi had a vision, right? And it was, part of it was tear it down, young, build up all the salary cap room, and then go make a move a couple years down the road. And his argument would be, the Haslams didn't see that plan through and that they got fed up with it at 1-31. They were done with it, and they didn't have the conviction to stay with that plan. I would get that. I understand where Tsatsi would be coming from. I would argue that Tsatsi, while that plan was fine, did not execute it the proper way by passing on quarterbacks, by when you trade down, you draft the wrong guys. And that's what it comes back to time and time again is who do you wind up drafting whenever you draft? I'm not going to argue with the philosophy of trading back sometimes. You shouldn't skip your quarterback year after year, which he did. That was his fatal flaw. But even when you do move back, then you got to get the right guys. Corey Coleman, not the right guy.
Oh.
Right? You can go through the list. So I understand why Tsatsi would say that, and I do believe the Haslams need better conviction and need to stick with the people that they hire. Having said that, I don't think Tsatsi Brown was ever going to get it right.
Where's your confidence level now on this whole thing as we move forward? And then Jeff and I were talking about this before the show. What if they get it wrong again? And I'm not trying to be negative, but, I mean, you look at Stefanski, and then you wonder, you know, I think they're in this, no matter what they hire, they're going to have to stick with it, even if they don't like it for 2 or 3 years, because I don't know why anybody would want to work here now. Like, I wasn't surprised when Peyton said, nah, you know what, maybe I want to stay home.
Right. Well, and I think that speaks to why Kevin Stefanski got a 5-year contract, is that guarantees you, I don't know, does it guarantee you at least that second year? Right, I don't know if it necessarily guarantees you that third year, but that's the principle behind it, is, okay, we're committing to these guys now. But my confidence level can't be high. I don't know how anyone's could be high, given the Haslam's track record. Now, that doesn't say anything about Kevin Stefanski. I'm fine with the Kevin Stefanski hire. Talking to him a couple times, you know, I know he's a smart guy. He seems disciplined. I think he has a chance, but we all know that you need a lot of stuff to go right for an organization to have success, especially one that's been so bad for so long. So I think there has to be some luck involved. And it means getting lucky with the GM. Whether it's Andrew Berry or whoever it's going to be, there has to be some luck there. Your quarterback's got to play well. And in answer to your question about what if it doesn't work, then they just blow it up and do it again. And we know that that's the next step, right? If this doesn't work after whatever it is, 1, 2, 3 years, then they'll try it again because there's no other choice.
Scott,
if you're betting, is it Andrew Berry and is it this week?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got a lot of leverage, and maybe that's why it's taken the weekend to get something done, right? Part of me thought when Peyton pulled out Friday, it would just become Andrew Berry's job because I know the Haslam like him and DePodesta likes him, so let's get this done. Maybe it took the weekend because he says, hey, give me that extra year or give me that extra million because you need me. And I don't need you as much. So I think at the end they come to an agreement, and it is Andrew Berry, and I think it could happen in the next couple of days.
Scott, thank you very much. We appreciate your time as always, and we'll read you in the Chronicle-Telegram each and every day. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.